1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 1. I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Let's remember that the chapters and verses, those divisions were added later. Notice this goes right now into chapter 3, verse 1, with a continuing thought. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, but one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. And if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this portion of Scripture, and I pray, God, that you would help us as we look at this, some of these verses, other places in the Bible. Lord, I'm burdened this morning. I'm burdened. God, I believe you've placed this burden upon my heart. I believe you've stirred my heart, Lord, in recent days and weeks concerning this subject. Lord, we need some help here in America. There's a vast effort, Lord, a satanic effort to redefine manhood, Lord, and to deceive our young men into thinking that some things are manly that are simply condemned by the Word of God. I pray that you'd help us to go away, Lord, with a little bit of an understanding of what the Bible has to say, and that we would be challenged. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, and you may be seated. I'm concerned about any and every one of you young men that are 20 years of age and younger. I mean that. I'm concerned about a lot of you that are 20-somethings and 30-somethings. One man said this recently. I'm not sure he isn't true. I heard a message recently where a man said, if you're not 80 or older, I'm not sure that there are some things that you fully or truly understand concerning how far in America we've drifted just from core values. Now, you young men, look up here and listen very carefully to me, because I'm going to challenge some things. We need to discover what the Bible says about real Christian manhood. Depending on the home that you were raised in, depending on the environment that you were raised in, depending on the influences in your life. And by the way, that's not just friends. That's just not siblings. That oftentimes is media. That oftentimes is music. That oftentimes is television and movies. I'm afraid there has been a concerted effort to try, in these young men right up here, and young men scattered all over this auditorium, to try to redefine in your mind what it means to be a real man. A real man. Now, this is just true. I mean, if you go very far, I mean, I'm talking about if you're a third grader and you're climbing on a public school bus, you're already starting to be challenged concerning the difference between God's view of a man and the world's view of a man. I'm talking about young men who want to try to influence you, or sometimes even older men. God help them. Honestly, God help them. I'd be fearful of a millstone. God help them. Who try to influence our young men into thinking that, you know what, if you curse, that makes you a real man. I mean, using God's name in vain. Wow, my goodness sakes, how impressive. And boy, that makes you a man. If you can walk away and get away from mom far enough and daddy far enough, and sometimes, unfortunately, not even having to get away from mommy and daddy, shame on us. But if you can curse, if you're brave enough to use Jesus Christ's name in vain, if you use God's name in vain, if you use other blasphemous or wicked or perverse words, and you say them loud enough and long enough, boy, all of a sudden you've reached manhood. No, no, you're mistaken. You're absolutely 100% mistaken. Folks, listen to me. That is not a sign of strength. That's a sign of weakness. That's not a willingness to stand alone. That's a willingness to conform and to those around you, to be controlled by peer pressure, and to try to influence and impress people that are ungodly. There's going to come an age, young men. I guarantee you, the young men in this room, the young men on this front row, there's going to come a day where there's somebody that's going to challenge your manhood and try to get you to take a drink of beer. Try to get you to take some whiskey. Try to get you to put to your lips a bottle where of something that the Bible says we're not even supposed to look upon. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. So God says, you know what? You drink your beer and drink your wine, but that doesn't make you a man. That doesn't make you a man at all. And so we've got this perverted view of manhood. It's amazing how many. I'm going to talk to you young men right now that are riding the bus into church. I'm just sick to my stomach of watching young men hit the 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade level. And all you've been coming to church for years, and all of a sudden you quit coming to church. And you know why you quit coming to church? Because somebody starts challenging your manhood. They'll say, oh, a little sissy boy goes to church, huh? No, it's the little sissy boys that won't go to church. I said it's the little sissy boys that won't go to church. Listen, it takes more manhood to do right, even when it's unpopular, than it does just to limp over and to flip over and to go along with the deadbeat crowd just because you're scared of being called a name. Now listen to me, you stand with God. Real men stand with God. Real men have convictions. Real men aren't swayed just because some knuckleheads start putting some pressure on you and try to keep you from going to church. Now, I mean that. There ought to be a break in it. I don't care if you, listen, when you're 10, you're riding a bus, you ought to come to church. When you're 11, you ought to come to church. When you're 12, you ought to come to church. 13, 14, 15, 16, you shouldn't be getting weaker. You ought to be getting stronger for the Lord. And that is the way to develop into a real man, a real Christian man. Let me just give you this. Now, be careful. But it's amazing the lies that are being told our young ladies and our young men concerning this matter of immorality, and somehow immorality equals maturity in this wicked, upside-down, perverted land of ours. And some young men want to brag and want to talk about how they have been involved in fornication and lewdness. And somehow that's supposed to impress me concerning their manhood. I mean, there's a wickedness that's going about. I'm talking about celebrities. I'm talking about athletes that are bragging about how immoral they are, bragging about how many different partners they have. And it used to be that you know, some men, if you want to call them men, would do this. But I'm telling you, even women in our society are deciding that there's something to brag about when it comes to that. Well, let me tell you something. The Bible says that marriage is honorable and all in the bed undefiled, but adulterers and whoremongers, God will judge. God will judge. You show me that young person that comes through that back doors right there, a young lady in a white dress that's kept herself pure, and I'll show you somebody who is strong. I'll show you somebody who has integrity. I'll show you somebody that did the right thing, and it's not easy to do it in this day and age, but they did it anyway. You show me. And by the way, young men, I don't get this. I don't get this where somehow it's a black mark on a young lady to be immoral, but it's not a black mark on a young man. I think it's a worse black mark on a young man to be immoral. Every young man walks down the aisle of a church and offers your arm to a young lady. You ought to offer a pure arm. You ought to offer an arm that's hugged on every girl in the county. You ought to offer a body that's been lewd and wicked. You ought to be that way. You ought to save yours. I'm talking about manhood this morning. Brother Jerry, it's Father's Day. Well, happy Father's Day. Let's talk about manhood this morning. I'm a little tired of weakness being held up as strength. I'm a little tired of wickedness being upheld as righteousness. I'm tired of sour being called sweet and sweet being called sour. I think what we need to do is we need to hit some reset button. Now, young people, listen to me. You can't turn on the TV set. Young men, you can't turn on this TV set and get your definition of manhood or you're in trouble. You're in trouble. We've got a nation that's sports crazy. We've got a nation that's sports crazy. Honestly, we've gone bonkers. And a lot of the athletes that you idolize are whoremongers. I'm not saying every athlete is, but they're whoremongers. A lot of them are. They're drunkards. They're profaners. They're blasphemers. You know what? I mean, honestly. You say, oh, Brother Jerry, you're not going to throw a wet blanket on what's happening here in Jasonville. Oh, well, I wouldn't dream of doing that. Let me tell you something. Every one of those young men, if they're young men, I don't mind them being on the ball diamond yesterday morning, but they should be in church at 10 o'clock this morning. If they were on the ball diamond 10 o'clock yesterday morning, they should be in church 10 o'clock this morning. Amen. And so should their parents. You know, this is crazy. Jasonville's crazy. I mean, honestly. Baseball's become a god. And sports are a god across the country. And you know what? I've got parents that will take 4 evenings a week and trot their kid to some practice or some ball game, but won't walk in the front door of a church one time a month with their children. Let me tell you something. That's not manhood. And that's not training young men to be manly, to be men. Now, let me just give you some things that the Bible says, young men, because God wants you to grow up strong. And I read this whole chapter. There's so much in here. But let's just look at verse number 5, because I think God put this here on purpose. I think Jesus Christ is the most misunderstood man that ever, and I said man that ever lived on the planet. If you've got, and here's your problem. Let me just blow up your little bubble here. Here's your problem. You need to get rid of your silly pictures, quote-unquote pictures of Jesus. You need to get them out from in front of the young people, out from in front of young men. You don't have a picture of Jesus. You've got a painting, a self-portrait of Michelangelo. That's what you have. You've got an effeminate-looking, long-haired person that everybody tells our young people, that's Jesus. Jesus didn't have long hair. The Bible says it's shame for a man to have long hair. Jesus wouldn't have gone against the principles of God's word. Let me say it again. Jesus didn't have long hair. Let me say it again. Jesus didn't have long hair. No, he didn't. You know why? Because he wouldn't have broken the Bible. He wouldn't have broken Bible principles. Jesus, listen to me, young men, at 12 years of age, he schooled till he was 12. At 12 years of age, he became apprentice for the father figure in his life, Joseph, which means he became a carpenter's apprentice, which means he got his toolbox and his tools at 12 years of age, and he got up before daylight, and he went with his dad to the workplace, and he learned the skills and trade of a carpenter. He did that from 12 till age 30 when he went into the ministry for 3 years and was strong enough to let men nail him to a cross when he could have called 10,000 angels. By the way, we say that, but he didn't need the angels. He could have just spoke a word himself and the world would have self-destructed. I mean, folks, listen, the Bible says the very earth is only, by him all things consist. All he would have had to do was say, you know what, I'm tired of holding this thing together, and the whole place would have went to a million molecules. Jesus had the power. He had the power, but you know what? Sometimes men make great sacrifices for the benefit of others. And Jesus Christ died on that cross. Nobody killed him. He gave his life. Nobody took his life. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He gave his life for us. He lived the life of a strong man. Look at verse number 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men. Notice this, the man, M-A-N, Christ Jesus. Now, it could have, the Bible wouldn't have been inaccurate to say the God Christ Jesus, or the Son of God Christ Jesus, or the divine Christ Jesus. But God, in this portion of Scripture, reminds us that Jesus was a man. He was a man. He was a strong man. He was a godly man. Now, let me talk to you about real Christian manhood and just hit a handful of things. A good night. This is not an exhaustive list. But let me remind you, first of all, in verse number 8 of chapter number 2, that real men pray. Real men pray. I will therefore that men, M-E-N, pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without doubt and wrath and doubting. Now, let me just encourage in this matter of prayer, gentlemen. We've made this a focal point. On purpose, we've made this a focal point this year. I had one desire, one main desire. We're going to accomplish a lot of things during the weeks and months of our year of prayer here. But one of the main things that I know God wanted me to lead in and accomplish in our church is to energize and activate our men to a higher level of prayer. To a higher level of prayer. I'm not saying that the men, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, was not praying before January 1st, 2008. But I have heard from the mouths of many of the men in this room, by their own testimony, preacher, because of what we've done this year, prayer means more to me than it ever has before. I've energized my prayer life to a higher level. I've seen God show himself strong in ways that I've never seen it before. Listen, folks, real men pray. Real men pray. Now listen, men, don't be afraid to take the leadership in prayer. I mean this, and I'm not picking on you. You know, everybody gets saved, everybody learns, everybody grows. But I think it's a wonderful thing when you see a man in the house decide that prayer and the leadership of prayer is his responsibility. That means Sunday dinner. Amen. That means Sunday dinner. You sit at the table. And before everybody just dives in like a bunch of pigs, let's stop and let's be men. And let's say, folks, before we eat, let's pray. Let's thank God for what he's provided for us. Lead. Don't be afraid to lead in this matter of prayer. Gentlemen, at the workplace, when you go to work and it's time to pull the lunchbox out and there's other men there. And I know what it's like to work in the world. I worked, 6.5 years loader on the docks in Chicago. I understand the kind of a work atmosphere of a lost wicked, when you're working with lost wicked men sometimes. But you know what? We're supposed to shine as light in darkness. And weakness doesn't pray. But strength, manhood, praise. You know what? They'll get used to it. Well, they may say something. They may laugh. But you know what? After a while, they'll get used to it. It's amazing how many times over the years that they watched me, and when I'd stop and bow my head to pray, everybody would just get quiet out of a little respect for what I was doing. But you know what, folks? We need to learn. Man, we need to learn to pray. Be a leader in this matter of prayer. Real men pray. Let me give you something else here. Real men lead. Real men lead. 1 Timothy chapter 2, we've read there, and we read in verse number 8, talking about the prayer and leading in prayer. And then it goes down, it says in verse number 11, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Oh, it always gets a little quiet. 1 Timothy chapter 2, amen. How many of you believe this is as much the word of God as John 3:16, amen? Well, welcome to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We're not shy to preach about the hard things, amen. Now, folks, listen to me, and I'll just tell you the honest truth. We've all been more affected by the ERA movement and the Women's Lib movement than any of us want to recognize or say. I mean, we are. We just need to understand that. If you're watching TV and you're consuming, on average, if you're the average American and you're consuming 30 to 40 hours, you have been thoroughly brainwashed when it comes to gender blending. You've been thoroughly brainwashed when it comes to gender blending. Amen. Oh, I wish some of you'd smile. It would feel so good if you just smile. Amen. Yeah, that's what the Bible, yeah, gender blending. Yeah, you see, I'm not afraid to say that the Bible is very distinct about what a man is, what he was created to be, and what he was created to do, and what a woman is, and what she's created to be, and what she's created to do. That doesn't make her a second-class citizen. It just makes her different. Well, you know, it's a strange thing when a preacher has to get up in a pulpit in 2008 and say, folks, men and women are different. They're different. And everybody's looking at God, how dare you say that? It's because we are. Because we are, absolutely. Now, men, listen to me. I don't care. Everybody can say whatever they want to. The Bible's true. It's plain. Men were made to lead.
Yes, sir.
Men were made to lead.
Yes, sir.
Yes, they were. They're made to lead. And men, let me just say this. Be a leader. Be a leader in your home. Be a leader in your home. That's what God's given you the responsibility to do. That's what he's given you the responsibility to be. Let me show you something. By the way, mark your place here because we're going to come back. But 1 Corinthians chapter 11, let me show you something that you ought to write down and you ought to just get a hold of. It would solve more problems in the home. I want to talk to you a little bit about gender blending. What is gender blending, Brother Jerry? Did you just make up that term? Thank you. Do you like it? Yeah, gender blending. Yeah, they used to call it the unisex movement. I call it gender blending. We've got the place where they want masculinity, throw it in the blender, put femininity in a blender, hit the button, mix them all together, and then you've got one size fits all. They're always telling us men that we need to learn to get in touch with our feminine side. Get in touch with our feminine side. All right, I'll do that. My feminine side. I don't have any feminine side inside of me. If I want to get in touch with my feminine side, I go hold my wife's hand. Amen. 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 You're not going to learn that watching Oprah. Dr. Phil's not going to tell you this. Bless your heart. You're going to have to open the Bible and figure this out. But that's true. I'm sick and tired of this. We've got so many men trying to get in touch with their feminine side. They've become feminine. Men, lead. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verse number 2. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep your ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now somewhere along there, you ought to write this down. Here's the chain of command. God, Christ, man, woman.
Yes, sir.
God, Christ, man, woman. God, Christ, man, woman. God, Christ, man, woman. Not God, Christ, woman, man. God, Christ, man, woman. Men, lead. 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 We need desperately male leadership in the home. We need desperately male leadership in the home. There was a woman that attended our church when we had the little church plant over in Brazil, Indiana. And we were trying to plant a church there. And a woman came there and she was saved and brought her children to church. Was concerned about her husband who was lost. She'd come and tell me all the time about how she just wished her husband would get saved. She was tired of being the spiritual leader. She didn't want to be the spiritual leader. She wanted a husband that was saved and would lead. And so I said, I'll set my heart with yours to pray that God saves your husband. And I went over and developed a friendship with him and was able to lead that man to Jesus Christ. Man, he came into the church with new convert zeal. And he sat there and opened his Bible and soaked it in and listened and studied. And you know what? Over the next 6 to 8 months, he began to take steps in becoming a spiritual leader in his home. Let me tell you what happened. That woman, in 1 year, that woman had pulled her entire family out of that church. I went to her home one day and I said, I'm sorry, ma'am, but you need to be rebuked. I prayed, I begged God, I witnessed. God, let me win your husband to Christ. I discipled him to be what you said you wanted. Amazing how many women want to complain about the fact that they don't have spiritual leadership or they have to be the spiritual leader in the home. Then their man tries to actually step and be the spiritual leader and then they throw a hissy fit. Hello? Hello, men? Lead anyway. Lead anyway. Amen. Lead anyway. I mean this. I want to come get some of you. Lead anyway. Lead anyway. Amen. There's a Greek word you need to learn. It's this. Hush! Well, I don't want to get in an argument. You don't want to get in an argument when you say one word. Hush! 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 Just practice that Greek word, amen. I mean it. You know what, folks? Our nation is dying for male leadership. Our homes are, listen, lady, don't come to me and ask me to pray for your situation. Then when your man steps up, then you start undercutting him, trying to cut his legs out, starting to regain control. If you want a spiritual leader, then step back and let him lead. Step back and let him lead. You know what? The church needs men to lead. Let's go back to where we were, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Notice this. After this section where it says Adam was first formed, then Eve. After the section where it says, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over a man, but to be in silence. Then in that same vein of thought comes these statements in chapter 3, verse 1. This is a true saying. If a M-A-N, that is not talking about mankind, that is masculine tense, that's gender specific. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. Folks, let me just say it loud and clear. There's no biblical basis for women preachers. There's no biblical basis for women leadership in the church. None, zero, zilch. I believe with all my heart that the strongest churches in America are led by men and led by laymen and led in leadership capacity by men. That is a solid, strong congregation. You say, Brother Jerry, I just don't believe that. I think that women ought to be preachers. Well, okay, if you're going to find one, you've got to make sure she's the husband of one wife. That's what it says there. A bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife. Okay? Now, if you've got one that is the husband of one wife, now she doubly can't be one because she's gay. I like the King James Bible. I think I'm just going to believe what the Bible says. Hey, listen, you're going to believe what, you know, your background, you're going to believe what somebody else told you, or you're going to look at the Bible, put your finger on the verse and say, you know what, by golly, I was wrong all these years. Men are supposed to be preachers. Women aren't supposed to be preachers. Now, we need men that will lead in the church. Ladies, I'm not diminishing your importance. I'm telling you that you will find the greatest areas of influence within the boundaries of God's precious word. You can be used in a mighty way, but you need to be used in a support capacity to your husband. In a support capacity to your husband. And help meet, to help God, to help him and to help God through you and your help for him to maximize his potential for the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, this is good things and it needs to be said. Men, just decide you're going to lead. You just decide. Brother Jerry, I'm going to tell you right now. If I tried to lead in my home, my wife would leave me. I'm going to say something and you don't have to agree with it. But I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather suffer the mark and shame of divorce and maintain my manhood than I would be kowtowed and run by a woman. Thank you, Brother Don. The old timer's got to help me out here. Are you for divorce? Absolutely not. But I'm also not for a marriage that is a travesty and a black mark to the cause of Jesus Christ. I'm not for creating a situation where children are raised learning to be domineering women and subservient men, young men. Because all we're doing is setting up the next generation for a train wreck. Now, I'm not kidding about that. I'd rather them come visit a man every other weekend. Don't you leave here and say I'm for divorce. No, I'm just against women trying to run households. Now, men, do you lead in love? Absolutely. Do you lead in the Spirit of Christ? Absolutely. Do you use this as a weapon or a tool, as a club to go home and be abrasive or abusive or mean-spirited? Absolutely not. But you know what? In Christianity, in Christian strength, Lead. 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 Your boys need to see you lead, and your daughters need to see you lead. 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 Amen. Real men, they lead. Let me give you the next, number three. Real men are disciplined. Real men are disciplined. And by the way, if you don't get this one, if you don't learn discipline, then you probably shouldn't try the one before that. Discipline needs to go along with leadership. Go to Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2. Real men pray. Real men lead. Real men are disciplined. Are disciplined. Titus chapter number 2. Verse number 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Now listen, all of those character traits needs to be attached to and added to your leadership. You need to lead in sobriety. You need to lead in gravity. You need to be temperate, sound in your faith, sound in your charity, sound in your patience, and that makes you a good leader. That makes you a good leader. Notice in verse number 6, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. And I want to say this. If you develop these attributes and incorporate them in your leadership skills, your wife and children, oh, they may grumble for a while if they're not used to following, but they're not going to mind following. They're not going to mind following. Now, real men are disciplined. I'm amazed at the lack of discipline among young men today. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. By the way, sobriety, that means to have a seriousness. Understand the seriousness of life. A gravity, a temperance. Talk about balance, sound in faith. Strong in your faith in Christ. Strong in your charity, your love for others and God. Strong in your patience. Listen, if you're going to be a leader, then that means you've got followers, and you have to learn patience in bringing followers along. So all of these things are important. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, if you will. Notice verse 18. Let me talk very specifically about this. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. We need self-discipline in the matter of controlling and disciplining our flesh. Gentlemen, listen to me. I know the kind of society that we live in. I know what's on the billboards. I know what's at every magazine rack. I know what's shoved constantly in the face of men today. But that doesn't give us a right not to exercise discipline. Discipline. Let's be disciplined. Flee fornication. Now don't forget that. You know the best way to make sure that you're true 100% all of your life to only one woman, to your wife, is anytime anything even sniffs or smells or you have any suspicion that there's a path that could lead to fornication, you don't hang around to find out. You run as fast as you can run. Don't hang around temptation. Don't hang around loose people. Don't engage in conversation that are questionable. Don't hang around strange women. Listen, you guard this matter of your flesh. Why? Because the Bible says, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Now listen to me. Real men are disciplined. Young men, you're going to have to learn this. You've got to learn this. And this whole thing about, well, I don't feel like it. Well, most of the right things to do in life, you're not going to feel like doing. But you discipline yourself to do it anyway. But I want to look. Who cares? Don't look anyway. But I want to go. Who cares? Don't go anyway. If it's wrong, then get away from it. If it's right, then head towards it. Listen, stop living at the whim and the control of your flesh. Honestly, we've got to develop some manhood and some strength in this area. Good night. Do the right thing. Well, I know we're not married, but I want to kiss her. Well, I'd worry about you if you didn't. Honestly. But wanting to and doing it's two different things. And we need some old-fashioned discipline. There's a reason we tell you keep your hands to yourself. There's a reason we don't want teenagers snuggling up with each other in this church. You parents, you just get as mad at me as you want to get mad. But we're not going to have a bunch of teenagers parked around this auditorium during the preaching of God's word snuggling up like they're on Lover's Lane. That's not going to happen at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'll call them down and separate them. Well, I won't come back. Well, then I won't have to separate them after that, will I? We need young men that are disciplined. We need young ladies that are disciplined. Amen. There's a time for all of that. It's after I do. Amen. Amen. Real men are disciplined. Don't fall for this garbage that you're being told. It's no proof of a manhood to throw away your purity. By the way, you just go ahead. I'll say this, and people that know what I'm talking about will know, and people that won't. But you just go ahead. But I read an article the other day that 1 out of 4 teenage girls have STDs right now. And probably the one that's loose enough to let you is the one that has it. You guys don't think this is real life stuff. This is real life stuff. This is stuff I've dealt with in counseling in the last month. Now you go ahead. You go ahead and laugh at this preacher. You go out there and go ahead and conduct yourself like a bunch of barnyard animals. But when you're dealing with a disease that's going to afflict you for the rest of your life, you're not going to think it's funny then. And that little few minutes of enjoyment that you got is not going to be balanced out by a lifetime of a disease that there is no cure for. Please listen to me. We need discipline. Nobody wants to say it out loud, but we have HIV as a result of the undisciplined, reprobate passions of men to men and women to women. That's why we have it. But they're not the only ones giving it and getting it. Better wake up. You better wake up. Real men are disciplined. Let me go on. I'm going to move ahead. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go there. Well, every once in a while, we just need a primer, an old-fashioned reset button hit so we can start thinking along the terms of the Word of God. I know what the TV's telling you. I know what the rock and roll crowds, I know what their example of life is teaching you young men, but that's not reality. Real men pray. Real men lead. Real men are disciplined. They are physically disciplined when it comes to the flesh. Number 4, real men work. Let me just not spend too much time on this, but I need to say some things. We're in trouble here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 28 says this, "Let him that steals stole no more." And by the way, can I define stealing there? Stealing is taking anything that's not rightfully yours. I don't care if they send it to you in check form. Stealing is taking part of my paycheck and spending it. Just because you're lazy. Amen. I'm sorry, but I just paid taxes. I'm paying quarterly right now. I'm not a happy camper. When I got to take money that I could put ahead for me and my wife's future, and I got to send it in so that they can cut it up in pieces and send it to a bunch of lazy loafers, I'm not real happy. Let him that steals stole no more, stole steal no more, but here's an amazing suggestion, but rather let him labor working with his hands the things which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. You know what it's saying there? Not that he'll just be able to pay his bills and take care of his family, but he'll have extra to be able to actually help people. Now I'd like to have more of that extra to help people, but I keep having it stolen from me. And it's bothersome to me, and it's bothersome to any man in here that works for a living. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Work. Boy, these are basic things. My daddy growing up, every 8-year-old boy would know these things. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse number 10, "But even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. You know what they're saying? You know, look at this next verse. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Work! 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 America's dying. We're crumbling. We're imploding financially. You know why? Because able-bodied men are laying around in bed till 10 o'clock in the morning, getting up, eating when they shouldn't eat, playing video games, goofing around, refusing to go to work, refusing to work for a living. Listen, folks, it's absolutely wicked. It's absolutely wicked. I'm not talking about men in this room. And I know and I pray for you. Some of you are in between jobs and you'd start tomorrow if somebody give you a job and you're trying. And I'm not picking on you. I'm talking about people that spend more time working on trying to get out of work than finding a job. I'm talking about everybody's, you know, what can I think of next so I won't have to go to work? Work, you lazy devil. Work. 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 By the way, you boys ought already be starting. You may not be able to have a paid job out somewhere, but if you're laying around your house and your mom is making your bed and taking out the trash and you're sitting around doing nothing, shame on you. What a wicked way to live. What a wicked way to live. Real men work. We need men that will provide for their family. It's not. Listen, we've got an upside down society. Used to be the coined term was sugar daddies. You know, women were looking for sugar daddies, somebody that would take care of them and provide. Now we've got a bunch of men looking for sugar mamas. No, you know it's true. Just park yourself on any main street or any town in here. You know what you'll see? Come through a dime a dozen. Woman driving a car and some guy over there slouched down on the other side. They pull in front of the gas station. He looks over. She opens her purse and hands him money. And he runs in and buys cigarettes and comes in and sets down. And she drives on and there he is. He doesn't work. She works a job or two jobs. So he can sit at home and do nothing. Kick that lazy devil out. Kick him out. Put him on the street. Amen. I don't understand women that want to do that. Good night. Hey, listen, gentlemen, it's our job.
Yes, sir.
It's our job.
Yes, sir.
It's our job. It's not your wife's job to provide for your family. It's your job.
Yes, sir.
Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, any man that provides not his own is worse than an infidel.
Yep. Yes,
so listen to me, Christian manhood. Let me have you go to Titus chapter 2. Folks, I know it's like getting teeth pulled, but we're almost done. Amen. Titus chapter number 2. Nah, it's all right, isn't it? You know, if you pray, you like this stuff. If you lead, you like this stuff. If you're disciplined, you like this stuff. If you work, you like this stuff. Let me just finish by saying this. Real men walk clean. They live clean. They walk clean. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Well, I'm done. Listen to me, folks. We've got to be reminded of these things. Young men in this room desperately needed to hear these things. Young man, you're not to conform to this world. You're to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And your mind is renewed by being brought to the scriptures and having some things challenged in your life. Now listen, if you want to grow up and be a man, then right now, young men, you need to learn to pray. You need to begin to pray. There's a reason I extended this pastor's prayer team all the way down to seventh grade. I wanted our young men from 12 years age and up to be coming to a men's meeting and paired off and praying with men and learning to pray by listening to men. I want them to be raised to be men of prayer. Now, young men, lead. By the way, let me just give you a little lesson on leadership. Here, Brother Jerry, I'm trying to lead in my home. Your teenage mom, I'm trying to lead in my home, but my mom and dad won't listen to me. Let me... You know, I had that problem for several years, too. I can relate to that, amen? Let me give you the greatest lesson on leadership you'll ever learn. You know how you learn to lead? You learn to lead by learning to be a good follower. The best leaders were the best followers. And you know what? If you won't submit to the authority of your mom and your daddy in your home, then one of these days nobody's going to want to submit to your authority. So just learn to lead. You can always boss your sister around. That's all right, amen? Real men are disciplined. Discipline, discipline, discipline. Now listen, take control of your schedule. Start living on purpose. Stop waking up whenever you want to wake up, doing whatever you want to do. Have no plan. Just wander through life. No discipline. No discipline. No plan. No thought life. You know, don't live that way. What'd you do this week? I don't know. What are you going to do next? Well, I don't know. What are you going to do tomorrow? I don't know. You know, you need to get a clue. Life's coming fast and it's climbing, coming hard. Okay? Live on purpose. Live discipline. Plan your life. Work your plan. Live the type of life that would be pleasing to the Lord. Real men work. That means get busy. I'd like to see bus kid, boy, young boys, just absolutely, tomorrow morning, your mom absolutely think you've lost your mind. Honestly. They hear a strange sound coming out of your room at 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. They think, man, that can't be right. That sounds like an alarm clock. Then they hear a shower. Yeah, a shower, soap, water, shampoo, deodorant, amen. Lots of deodorant, amen. And all of a sudden they think, what's going on? Somebody's broken our house, killed our kids, and living in his room now. You walk out, 7:30. Downstairs. By the way, spend some time reading your Bible. Spend some time praying. Report for duty. Go down and say, Mom, listen, I got up early. What do you need done around here today? Some of you boys look like, are you nuts? Are you crazy? Nah, honestly. What do you want me to do today? The Bible says I'm not supposed to work, eat if I don't work. What do you want me to do today? You know, get out there and crank that mower. Amen. Go out there and pull some weeds. Get out there and do some things. Don't worry. Your mom's not going to be able to think of much. She's going to be in such a stupor. She's going to have, you may have to call 911, you know. Work. Work. And you know what? Live clean. Live. I don't care what the other boys in the neighborhood do. I don't care how they talk. They make fun of you from going to church. Say, hey, let me tell you something. Any punk can stay home. Any punk can disrespect God. Any punk can be like, let me tell you something. I'll stand by God, and you know what? I'll let him judge whether I'm a man or not. Stand by the Lord. Stay in church. Stay pure. Stay clean. And you know what? One of these days when God, I believe this, is looking down for future men of God, he might have some raw material to work with. Amen. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Best thing any man, woman, child can do. The starting point, the first thing, is to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. If you're here and you've never received Christ as your Savior, let me just say this. Jesus Christ, that man Christ Jesus, was also God. He came down because he loved you. He was born of a virgin because he loved you. He grew up and worked hard because he loved you. He went to preaching because he loved you. He lived a perfect life, lived a disciplined life, never did one thing wrong, never had a wrong thought. You know why? Because he loved you. He was the perfect sacrifice, the Son of God, died on that cross, was buried, rose again. He did that for my sins and for your sins. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you don't know for sure if you were to die, if you don't know for sure if you were to die that you'd go to heaven, we'd like to take the Bible and show you that for sure. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ transforms lives. There are people all over this room that I could introduce you to that at one time, you know what? They were away from God and godless, and God saved them and changed them and transformed them. He's still working on all of us, but praise God. Listen, if you're here without Jesus Christ, you need to accept him today. I pray that you will. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd do something in our hearts, in our lives. Do something deep inside of us, God. Help us to stand up, Lord, as men of God. Help us to do it the right way. Help us to do it. Lord, I pray that you'd bless every father. This is Father's Day. Lord, we need some old-fashioned daddies. We need some old-fashioned daddies that'll stand for right and do right and be right. And Lord, you've never one time required us to be perfect. You know we can't, but you sure require us to live every single moment of every day in light of what the Bible says about real Christian manhood. Help us to do it. Lord, forgive us for our failures. Lord, I'll be the first one to say that in some of the areas I've preached on today, there's times in my life, and even now, sometimes that I fall woefully short. Forgive me and help me to get back up and do the right thing. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.